Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This message, let it be an encouragement to you. Wherever, whatever your walk of life is, wherever you're at in your faith, let it develop more faith. Let it be an encouragement this morning. All right? I'm going to pull up a few different scriptures and read through them and reference a couple places, paraphrase a couple places. But what I kind of want to focus on this morning is a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. And it's verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is kind of the verse that will set the tone of what I want to talk about this morning. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Talking about the things that are unseen oftentimes. The spiritual realm, as it were, as it is. Where oftentimes we look at someone and we see our enemy. But it is telling us that, no, it is not the flesh and blood, but in the spiritual realm where the battle is being fought, where the war is being waged, where our soul is what's important. And in this verse, it led me through just looking back, thinking back, it led me to a man in the Old Testament by the name of Jacob. And in Genesis chapter 32, I'm just going to reference a part of it here. Chapter 32. The title of this section is Jacob Fears Esau, his brother. Now, there's a whole lot of family history here that we're not going to get into at the moment. But Jacob is afraid of Esau, his brother, which, you know, if you know about Esau, he's a hairy dude. And I'm just saying that'd be kind of terrifying. Okay, and he was like a man's man, all right? Man's man, hunter, hairy, just, you know, caveman-esque in my mind, okay? Now, that's fairly terrifying image. And so Jacob is afraid of his brother. But this is what Jacob does. He goes and talks to God. And in chapter 32, verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all these deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed the Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. What he does in this moment of fear out of a person, he goes and he prays. He talks to God. He asks, he requests. Out of our moments of fear of something or anxiety of something in the physical, something that stands in front of us or stands in our way, where do we turn? As Jacob did, he turned to prayer. But what I find even more interesting is just a little bit later in this chapter, in verse 22, it picks up. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the... That's a name I should have practiced. Okay. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. A man came and wrestled with Jacob. Now, when I have a big day tomorrow, when I got something real taxing on my mind, something that's causing me anxiety and fear, the last thing I want to do when I go to bed at night is wrestle with a man. It's not on my to-do list before bed. You know, I'd like to get some good rest, wake up refreshed in the morning, eat some eggs, bacon, because it's America, and just enjoy my time while I can before I face the bully, before I face this thing that is causing so much anxiety and fear in my life. But what happens for Jacob is not a restful night. He wrestles with this man all night. And a man with him wrestling until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. There he blessed him. See, I want to jump forward again to Ephesians, that verse that I read. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." See, Jacob went to prayer. He went to prayer. He looked for God to, as I say, I've been there, "God, will you just maybe let me not deal with my consequences today? The consequences for my actions, I'd rather not exactly foot the bill for that. Could you maybe help me out? Could you maybe take that away for me?" And he goes and he prays to God. And God's response is, "Let's wrestle all night. Let's wrestle all night. Let's wrestle." And as Jacob doesn't give up, doesn't lay down and cry and say, "God, why?" No, he holds his own, and he wrestles. He doesn't give up. This is something, you know, I oftentimes talk about my family when I preach. It's something that I grew up instilled in me, as Williamson never gives up. I haven't heard that phrase in quite some time from my dad because, I don't know, it just hasn't come up. But there was a conversation that, you know, is kind of semi-typical if you talk to me semi-often about the wildlife and outdoors. And I was bringing it up to my dad about if I was ever to cross paths with a mountain lion. Yeah, I know, pretty realistic. And I said to him, I said, "A mountain lion, like a full-grown mountain lion." I said, "You know, Dad, I would, you know how I'd probably handle it, and it's, you know, going to attack me? I'd probably just say, 'Okay, here, make it quick. Just make it quick. Because a mountain lion is probably going to kick my butt. Let's be honest. The thing is an animal. It's a beast. It's meant for this.'" And you know what my dad says to me? "You better not. What's your last name?" "It's a mountain lion. What do you want me to do?" "No, you're not. No. Better give it all you got. Against a mountain lion, You know what a mountain lion is? It's a lion without a mane. That's what it is. And I'm supposed to just fight this thing if I ever come across its path. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But my dad, I mean, I'm sitting there like, okay, yeah, just make it quick. Just get it done. Right here, I'm good. And my dad says, you better not. What's your last name? A mountain lion. And the expectation is I'm supposed to, okay. Anyway. But see, it's, you don't give up. You don't give up. You continue through the fight. You keep wrestling. You keep going. You do not give up. It even in some different versions of the Bible, it talks about how his hip socket was out of place, and then he would not let go of the man, and the man said, "Let go! It's morning," and he would not let go until he got the blessing. What Jacob left with was not just a limp, was not just a new name, but a renewed faith. A renewed faith in the face of adversity, in the face of fear, in the face of anxiety, in the face of this mountain, this giant, this something coming after him. He found himself with a renewed faith. Because that limp being significant, he cannot walk on his own now. It requires faith. At times when we come to God and we are looking for deliverance from what is chasing after us, what we face, oftentimes as we wrestle, as we pray, as we fight in the spiritual realm, not just the physical, guess what? We are going to leave those moments changed, different, with a limp, with a new name. It's what God does. He changes us. He transforms us. Now, you may look at it and think, well, he hurt him. Why? God doesn't hurt the one he loves. I don't think that's the way you should look at it. I think instead we should look in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. I mean, that doesn't sound real comfortable either. I have refined you, pressed out, purged the impurities, the things, the fear, the anxiety, the struggle, the things that we hold above God. And oftentimes we talk about what we hold above God being all these worldly things, these good things, but a lot of times our fear becomes greater than our God. It becomes not what we serve as in, oh my word, I love it so much, but it's what we serve in the sense of, I am so afraid that I'm going to change everything I do in the way I live just to avoid this thing, just to not go there, just to avoid the valley, just to avoid Goliath, just to avoid this place. But God wants to take you and refine you from the impurities, from those things, to give you a life that is no longer lived in fear, but in faith. And it takes a little bit of wrestling. It takes a little bit of furnace of affliction. Because what ends up happening for Jacob, the next day he sees Esau. And Esau runs to him and embraces him. The one he feared, the anxiety, the discomfort, the fear of what was going to happen. And he was met with a hug. A manly hug, a hairy hug. Ooh, okay. But through this fiery furnace, through this wrestling all night, through the discomfort, through the struggle, through the fight. See, that verse doesn't say we don't wrestle at all. It just says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but there's still a war being waged. There's still a fight going on. There's still a wrestling. There's still a struggle. And if our thought is to lie down and just make it quick, all this pain, this hurt, this suffering, the enemy I can't defeat, make it quick. If David would have walked out onto that battlefield against Goliath and just said, okay, make it quick. But instead it was, my God is bigger than my fear. My God is bigger than my anxiety. My God is bigger than the mountain or giant that I face. So I can go and slay the giant. I can go and face my enemy and see them become my friend. I can go. I don't have to serve my fear. I don't have to be a slave to it. I can be free from it. And sometimes it takes that fiery furnace. In Scripture, it tells us as well in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Fear, anxiety, discomfort, struggle, a lot of it is rooted in here and in here. But as he tells us, his peace will surpass all human understanding. We think, oh, I have this issue. That means I got to go read this book and figure out how to face, you know, all these different issues and struggles of my childhood or my family growing up or this bully or this addiction that I have and all these different things. And I am not here to say that, you know, these books and self-help books and authors and podcasts and all these wonderful things aren't good tools. No, but what is actually going to set us free, what actually gives us the strength, what actually refines us is faith in God. God building that faith up in us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Prayer. The peace of God will show up through prayer. And it's not just a before I eat prayer. This is the prayer of a warrior. Because, like I said, there's a war being waged in the spiritual realm, the things that are unseen. And prayer is our weapon. It's how we fight. It's how we go to war. The peace of God is found through prayer, through the struggle, through the fight, through the war, through the wrestling. You want more faith? Well, sometimes it takes more struggle. Sometimes it takes a limp. Sometimes it takes that all-night wrestling. And through that, we see a renewed faith. And the peace of God show up that turns our enemy to our friend. Or who we thought was the enemy. Peace doesn't come without a struggle, without a little bit of battle. Because even if it is just the peace, just gifted from God, he's fighting for it, for us, to give us that peace. Because of the spiritual darkness that surrounds us and attacks us in this world we live in. To fight through it, to wade through it, to get to the place where his peace is. Sometimes it takes the struggle, the fiery furnace, the discomfort. Where peace isn't is just laying down and taking it. Make it quick. It's not in those moments. It's not in those moments of giving up. It's not in those moments of, well, if I choose not to fight, that must mean there's peace, right? That's what we call slavery and bondage. I'm just not going to fight back, and I that means they will just leave me alone. That's definitely not how it works. Just put it off for another day. Just sweep it under the rug. Just keep running away. That's when our fear becomes our master and we continue to live our life controlled by it, trying to avoid it. But through prayer, through seeking of God, through spiritual struggle and wrestling, we can see ourselves set free, transformed, renewed, made whole. Our faith becoming the be-all, end-all, becoming what gets us through the day. What gets us through the hard moments, what gets us through the difficulties, what gets us through the struggle and the battle. Our faith in God. And faith is a product, oftentimes, of struggle, of wrestling, of fighting. Our faith in our God, the King of Kings, that's who we serve. So let us not continue to live our life in fear or being anxious of what tomorrow is or what our past has hanging over us, to not continue to live under that umbrella, under that cloud, under that darkness. Yet sometimes we got to face the hard things. Sometimes the hardest things to face are already inside of us. The past mistake, the deep, dark secret that nobody really knows about, that you still can't believe you did or you were a part of or you witnessed or this or that. And it's in there and you just kind of face it. And sometimes you're like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go there. I just want to keep pushing it out because it's in the past and time will heal. Time will heal. Time will set me free. There will come a time where time is running out and Esau is going to catch up. And we need God. We need God. And it's the faith in Him, the trust in Him, for Him to deliver, for Him to show up. And fight. It's one of the reasons why I know there's a lot of polarizing thoughts on tattoos. But it's one of the reasons why I got these tattoos on my fingers. There's an arrow on each one. It's because I'm a bow hunter. No, I'm kidding. It's because back in the day when two arrows were shown together, it was a symbol of war. It was a symbol of war. And as Scripture tells us, the Lord is my rock. He prepares my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And so when I fold my hands to pray, it means war. Because it is not against flesh and blood that we fight. It is the principalities. It is the spiritual realm. And we fight and we struggle. And we wrestle, and there's a back and forth, and there's a push forward. There's sweat and tears, and there's a little bit of a limp. not because my hip popped out of socket, but because if I spend too long, I'm getting old. That's what it is. If I spend too long sitting down, it's like, oh, I know. Yeah. Wrong crowd to make that joke. Okay. Whoops. Okay. Well, refined by the flame and loved and saved by grace. Okay. But it's true. In our prayer, we fight. In our worship, in what we say and what we do. In Proverbs, it talks about how when we gain this wisdom and we speak of this wisdom and of righteousness, it's as if we are speaking mouth to mouth with God. And what that means is we are speaking with the mouth of God. This is how we fight the battles. This is how we continue on. That we do not have to serve fear. That we don't have to live in this anxiety. That we can be free. But it takes a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of struggle, a little bit of fight so that we can go on to the next day and be free. Bow your heads all over this room.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.